We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pleased to welcome in right now for a couple of minutes a man who I think provides something right now that we all could use, and that's some facts, that's some analysis here that's very cogent and very necessary at this time. That's Michael McCann, SI legal analyst, who wrote earlier today, actually posted early this morning, analyzing the legal hurdles of bringing back sports. Michael, I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes for me on a busy day. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. How about yourself?
Doing well, thank you. And first question for you is, I loved what you wrote because I thought it was just, like I said, very well laid out, really very detail-oriented, the problems or the hurdles that organized sports are going to face whenever we can get back to even considering playing them. In your mind, what from a legal standpoint is the biggest hurdle that the professional sports leagues in this country, even the collegiate ones, are going to face when it comes time to trying to get back on the field or on the court?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is that games restarting is going to be up to local governments, city governments, state governments, that it's not a federal issue, really. It's about these gathering restrictions that in some communities might be around for a while, depending upon the spread of the virus. And as long as there's a public health issue, I think we're going to see public health boards be pretty reluctant to having gatherings that would make it impossible to have games. Because if there's a gathering that says you can't have more than 25 people, you can't have any kind of game, really, other than maybe tennis or golf or something like that. So I think that's going to be a big hurdle. It will really depend on the spread of the virus, how well containment measures work, distancing, those types of things. But if they don't succeed, then we'll be looking at this issue into the summer, into the fall. And, you know, I know that there'll be a desire to have things go back to normal, but the tricky thing with sports leagues is that there are so many different states and cities implicated. And if the virus is bad in some part of the country but not others, maybe we would see games possible in some parts of the country but not others. So there's a lot of ways this could play out. But to have sort of that normal world where we've got a bunch of NFL teams across the country, a bunch of baseball teams, and everyone has games against each other, that world may not exist for a while. And I think we have to be prepared for, if the games come back, it may not be like what we're used to.
Michael McCann, SI legal analyst, joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. One of the things that we've been discussing here in Pennsylvania, it's become something of a hot button issue, is the way that golf courses have been closed here, but in neighboring states, New York, Ohio, West Virginia, just what I know for sure, golf courses have remained open there with special rules in place. And I know from talking to a few golf course owners in the area, Michael, that they've tried to lobby the governor's office, overturn that to kind of give them an exemption. What grounds, if any, would these leagues have to lobby these municipalities, state and local governments, to try to get their games played if, you know, they felt like they had a plan in place that was sanitary, satisfactory, and presented no danger to the public health? Let's, for example, say they were playing games in front of empty stadiums.
Yeah, so I think that might work, but I think the leagues would also need to have some kind of argument that they can adequately test players and be sure that not only players, but the coaches, umpires, referees, staff, that everyone's tested in a way that ensures that the person doesn't have it and isn't going to infect someone. As we know, there are a lot of people who seem to get this that are asymptomatic And from what we've been told, people that are asymptomatic can spread it, obviously unintentionally and all that. But if that's true, then it's going to be hard to, I would imagine hard for public health boards, for governors, for mayors to say, yeah, you can go play. They're going to want some assurance that there's regular testing. And I think what we've seen is that there isn't that kind of testing yet, that there's a shortage of tests, that maybe it's getting better, but it isn't as if everyone can get a test that needs one. And until we're at that stage, and until really beyond that, that a league can get access to tests to ensure that those participating in a game are not infected, we're just not anywhere near there as far as I can tell. Now, maybe by the summer or the fall, we are in that place, and then they could more effectively lobby for exemptions. But, exemptions are often hard to get. It's usually not instantaneous. And if that's the case, it's going to prolong the calendar that, to have lobbying in all of these areas where some governments are going to be receptive and some aren't, it just gets complicated. And I don't know how swiftly it can all be done.
A couple more minutes with Sports Illustrated legal analyst Michael McCann. His article's up. I'll be linking it out again, analyzing the legal hurdles of bringing back sports. It's a sobering read, but a very informative one about some of the challenges that the leagues in this country are going to face. Michael, I noticed that one group not on this call with the president, this conference call, was any players' union in any of these sports. So far as I know, what kind of issues from a collective bargaining standpoint would arise if, let's just say for argument's sake, testing does ramp up and testing capacity ramps up? What then are the hurdles that have to be jumped over between leagues and between the players' unions?
Well, one would be the testing itself. How will that be conducted? We know that unions for players stress testing protocols, so that's a big part of collective bargaining agreements, how drug and other tests are conducted. Now, maybe everyone's going to be like, let's just get the games back and let's not argue over how testing works. But that's just not historically how it's been done, that players' associations have often been pretty vigilant about ensuring that there are really intricate testing procedures in terms of if there's a sample, how it's held, chain of custody, all those things. So there's that. Now, they can resolve that, but again, it's not something that they might get done quickly. And then there's maybe the bigger issue of how does the revenue work? How do we share whatever revenue is generated in this new world where there aren't spectators at games? Do they rework how revenue is shared? Take the NBA, where do the players want to be in a position where the salary cap goes way down next year and that players that have the unluck of becoming free agents during this period where revenue goes down, their contracts are going to be a lot smaller. Maybe they spread out the effect of that. All of these leagues are going to have these issues. Now, again, to me, that's not nearly as insurmountable as the public health stuff. They can figure out the money. They can figure out the testing. But they're also not straightforward, and they're often topics that lead to debate and division. So I think they can get those things done. I think if the public health matters can be resolved, they'll get these other things done, but they're not simple things either.
Lastly, Michael, before we let you go, and appreciate you taking this time with us today, the NCAA, to my knowledge, also not involved with this call. Do you have any maybe guess as to why that would be the case and maybe what all this means for them, given that the athletes are not compensated in the way that they are in professional sports?
Yeah, I imagine that the White House just made a distinction between pro and amateur. Obviously, there's debate about whether college is really amateur, but I think they just went with, let's just have the pro leagues and not invite the debate about whether college sports are really pro sports. And also, maybe with college sports, the phone call should certainly be the NCAA and Mark Emmert, but also the commissioners of the conferences, where the conferences have a lot of autonomy in ways that pro leagues aren't structured. So it might make more sense to have that kind of call with an audience like that. And then there's just the issue of colleges and education in general, how it's impacted. If universities are refunding all of the revenue they would have gotten by having students in dorms and fees, there's a pretty significant economic effect that's hitting colleges now. And it might make sense that the White House and other government agencies really talk about college sports within the broader context of how college education is being impacted by this virus and really the pretty severe economic effects it's going to have on a lot of universities.
Michael, I'll leave you with one more here. I'm projecting way down the road. This is a best case scenario because I think obviously you and I and most of the people listening understand that if there's no testing, this is going to be intractable. Sports will be on hold for a very long time or until such time as the testing's reliable or there's a vaccine. Assuming that sort of situation on the health front does come to pass, you mentioned all the financial elements and that they could get, you know, easier to work out. What do you think the timetable would be for sorting through all of that if and when a vaccine gets approved or testing is such that you can return to play? How long do you think it would all take?
So I think they can get a lot of that done before the public health part of the story is resolved. I think, look at baseball. They just struck a deal on how a 2020 season would be played out in terms of payment to players. So they've already done that. I think the other leagues could do that, and it would make sense that they not wait for the public health part of the story to be resolved, because if they do that, then they're just going to prolong the time between now and when games are going to return. So it certainly looks like the NBA and the NBPA are talking, trying to negotiate. The NFL and NFLPA often have not had a good relationship, but they did just resolve and get a CBA done. So similarly, NHL and NHLPA could reach out and figure out a plan. I think it would make sense that they do that now and not wait until the vaccine or testing becomes available, because who knows when that is. And if they wait until then, it probably at least a period of weeks, maybe longer, before they can resolve those issues. So I think they can get a lot of that done now, and hopefully they do that.
Michael McCann, SI legal analyst, giving some insight on the behind the scenes, the legalese to what it's going to take to get back sports whenever the health part of this crisis, hopefully sooner, very soon rather than later, is resolved. Michael, thank you for taking some time. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.